Welcome to the sun, as I like to call it, because we have the hot temperatures here. I feel like I'm working on the sun anyway. Oh, am I echoing? Echo?
Yes.
No, I can't tell. Oh, I got it.
Cool little sound effect.
Can I
button?
It says,
I'm
please play Cheech and Chong. Okay, here we go.
Hey, man, what you doing, man? I'm just trying to find out about this boondoggle thing, man. Boondoggle? That's not good stuff, man. A friend of mine back in the hood smoked some of that stuff, man. It's not good. He was freaking out, man. Nah, man, I'm talking about a kayak fishing boondoggle, man. It's when a bunch of fishermen on kayaks get together to hang out, man. A bunch of kayak fishermen hanging out. Sounds fishy to me, man. How do these guys hook up? Well, I tried to look them up, but they don't have a website yet, man. No website, man. Bummer. Nah, man, but I hear they're trying to raise money to build one, man. Oh, yeah? I'm trying to raise the money, too, man. You want to buy some? Nah, man. But this kayak fishing boondoggle thing is really a good idea, man. I think we ought to help these guys out, man. All right, man, I'm with you. So where do we go, man? Oh, nah, man, we ain't got to go nowhere, man. Right now we can help them out by checking out kayakfishingboondoggle.com, man. Okay, man, I can boondoggle on that, man. Don't get stuck in your kayak.
All right.
All right. How about that? New commercial, at least new to us, because we didn't do a show last week. But there you go. There's the skinny on the boondoggle up and coming this October. It'll be at Pedro Key in Florida, which is in the Pensacola area. And October 14th, same weekend as what else, Mark? The Oak Island Classic.
That's right, baby.
That's right. But anyway, get all your information. You can go to that website. Because they don't have a website yet. But you can go to yakangler.com/boondoggle or here at Kayak Fishing Radio /boondoggle. And there's also a Facebook page to get all the details for the upcoming event in October. Yeah, we didn't have a show last week. Sorry about that for anybody who missed us or not. We had two good friends here locally who have been very good friends and kayak anglers and good and big supporters of the local Tidewater chapter of HAL, both Navy, active duty Navy military members. I did all that out. I don't know how I just said. But anyway, they got orders and they shipped out. So.
Can I give a shout-out? I'd like to give a shout-out to June and Russell Ham, who are currently on the road somewhere. Hey, y'all!
They said something earlier as though they were leaving North Carolina or just got into North Carolina. Yes. Yeah, so.
They stopped at Get Outdoors, and June didn't get a pink sticker, so I told them that we'll be down there next month, that I'll hook her up. I'll get her a pink sticker.
Oh, wow. So they went through Greensboro. They should have stopped at Mark's house for lunch. But anyway, Russell and his mom are heading back to Texas for, I guess, 30 days or so. Russell's on leave. And Don is in the chat room with us tonight. And like I said, there were two great guys that lived here and very active in the kayak community and the HAL chapter. So we had a little get-together for them last Tuesday, a going-away party, if you will. So that comes before a lot of other things. Good friends and good family members, you got to make sure you stick out for them. So
here, hang on, honey.
Good luck to the both of them for their upcoming adventures, and hopefully we'll see them back here in the Tidewater area sometime. But you guys be safe. Thanks for everything you've done and everything you continue to do. Little miss you guys.
Rob DeVore is with us on the phone, too.
Oh, we got some Florida calling in. Rob with the big beard. Rob, that beard's going crazy, dude. You're going to have to tame it.
Well, then I wouldn't look like a serial killer boondoggle time, man. So, there's no Captain Crunch is safe.
That's something you don't hear too often. Anybody's goal is to look like a serial killer. So, set it high. Set the bar high, Rob. Set the bar high.
That's right. That's right, man.
Very cool. But, how you doing, man? How's things down in Florida? Is it hot down there?
Yeah, big time. But just busy, you know, like, it's just a never-ending parade of projects, man. And it's cool. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, man. This weekend, last weekend, I was over at Melbourne, hanging out with everybody in the Space Coast there and filming Mike Neen and Everyday Push, getting that going. And then this weekend, I'm going to fly into New Orleans to film with Chris Cincy up there for the Slayer Inc., you know, like promos and commercials and whatever else he wants to film while we're up there. So be up there this weekend, hopefully catching some giant, like, Kayak Kevin-sized redfish.
Your life sounds tough, Rob. I can see why you don't cut that beard, because it sounds like you don't have time to shave, man.
No, man, I got to mix in, like, dude, seriously, I got to, like, figure out how to mix in sleeping and eating, you know, so...
that stuff, you can do that when you later. Don't worry. When you get old and you can't run around, then you can go ahead and take care of that. Right now, you just better keep on keeping on.
Well, Chris promised...
Maybe the eating. You might want to eat a little bit, but that sleeping is overrated. Overrated.
Well, Chris promises that there's a lot of good Cajun food up there where he's taking me, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you go to New Orleans and don't... Yeah, if you leave hungry, that's your own fault.
Yeah. And this is like way out in the... He's taking me way out in the sticks, man. Like out, you know, Della Crow or
banjo music. Banjo music,
yeah.
Territory, right?
Yeah, no. You know, it might be... I'm trying to think of that. What's the name of that band? They're from there. They did that song, I'm Walking to New Orleans. Feet Don't Fail Me Now and all that stuff. Oh, man, I can't remember. Good band. Kind of Cajun music type stuff. Yeah, that's the good stuff.
I don't know. Cowboy Mouth from down there. You ever listen to Cowboy Mouth?
Yeah, I remember them.
That's good, man. All right, Kayak Fishing Radio Show. It just went music. Well, you
try.
That'd be cool, dude. We're looking forward to seeing all the videos from that. And your push, how's the push video coming?
Everyday Push is coming good. It's, coming strong. It's going to be really good. I haven't even started editing it yet, though, because I want to make sure everything gets done. You know, I get all the footage for it, and then I can start editing. But I'm working on the Bass on the Road movie right now, and that's about 3/4 done.
Cool.
So that was a fun trip.
You definitely do sound busy.
Yeah, and then I got a shot the offshore trip with yakangler.com. Mark was down here, and Bill Howard and me and a bunch of, you know, Rusty Driver and a bunch of guys went offshore and
Ed,
caught a bunch of
fish.
Yeah, Ed Rattenham, yeah,
uh-huh.
From Hellbrand Leatherworks.
Yep.
And we all went out and caught a bunch of red groupers. So I filmed all that stuff, and it's just in line, you know. It's like when I get one project done, that's like the next one to come, you know, just that I'm going to start working on. So it's all coming, I promise. I promise.
Well, you just got to call in and let us know. Call in, give us the details for that knowledge trip. I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun. So, and then when those videos are coming out, make sure you, well, I mean, we all pretty much are on the old Facebook social media sites, but let us know when it's coming out so we can all get a glimpse. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I just, you know, I post it everywhere, so if you miss it, you know, I probably post it too much.
Nah, you can't do that. No way. Well, very cool. Let me see who else we got calling. Are you going to sit around, Rob? You hanging out with us?
Yeah, I'll be around for a little while.
All right, right on. So who else is on the phone? Chris, what do you got?
I think we got Corey now. Corey?
All right.
Yes? Yes, Corey?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
Corey's with us.
We got a full boat. Very cool. Well, we got lots to cover tonight, so we better get the cracking.
Get a cracking.
Let's see, who am I going to start with? Let's start with Corey, because Corey's got an upcoming event this weekend, and I want to make sure the word gets out for him. We'll start at the top of the show with that, then we can kind of end and give all the details one more time. So, first off, how's it going tonight there, Corey?
I'm doing great, man.
Good, very good. So this weekend, the One Lure Tournament out of Wild River Outfitters. So this Friday, correct, is the captain's meeting?
Yeah, it starts at 6 o'clock, and as soon as the store closes, we'll go over the rules and give everybody their lure packet, and they can start fishing Saturday morning at first light.
I had a couple people that were a little confused on One Lure Tournament, thinking that they could only use one lure, I guess, if they're select. So why don't we go ahead and run through the basic rules anyway right now. So the one lure is, what lure can they use, Corey?
You're going to get a bag, which is basically a sample bag of Z-Man lures, and it may have four or five or six different lures. I don't know what they're sending yet, but as long as it's in the bag, you can use it. So when we say one lure, we mean, you know, one brand. So you're going to get at least, I guess, about five or six lures that you got to use, but that's all you get.
Gotcha. But then that same, whatever plastic's in that bag, we can use any jig head or whatever other means we want to get it out there, correct?
That's right. It's no, you know, we're not going to provide the terminal tackle. So, like, you know, we discussed it. You know, if it was me, I would probably just have a rod rigged up with each different one and go with it, you know.
That's right. And they are Z-Mans, but hope that you don't find some bluefish, because even after a while, Z-Man will get tore up with enough bluefish chewing on it. So remember to choose wisely where you're fishing or what you're fishing at, right?
Yeah, definitely. But it's tough stuff.
When that bag's empty, your day's done.
Exactly. You know, we wanted to get everybody on the same playing field, so everybody gets the same lure.
Right on. Well, we did that years ago with TKA, and we actually had one lure. That was only one lure you could use, but we also had the same jig head, too, for that event, so that really equalized. So, but it's still going to be awesome. So what's the sign-up? We can still sign up at the store or at the captain's meeting, I'm assuming?
Yep, I think you can. I think the day of the captain's meeting, it goes up a little bit, but I'm not sure. That it goes from 25 to 35, but if you get in there tomorrow or before the captain's meeting, you can get in there for 25, I think.
Gotcha. And then 6 o'clock, captain's meeting, Wild River Outfitters. Everybody will receive their bag of goodies then, and we're going to go fish. What body of water can they fish?
You can fish Lynn Haven as long as you stay inside the Lesnar Bridge.
Okay,
so that's fair.
A lot of water there. There's a lot of water covered there. And we're catch, photo, and release?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep, you definitely need to bring us your card, you know, and we're going to provide it. We'll give you a score sheet, too, so you can put your fish on the score sheet. And it's going to be the biggest single redfish. It's not going to be a cumulative or anything like that. We wanted to keep it simple, so... You know, biggest redfish is going to take home the, we're giving away a TFO Howl rod and the Okuma reel, and then you're also going to get a Z-Man, a guide shirt from Z-Man, like one of those button-up shirts, and some lures.
Wow. That's a lot of good stuff on the line there.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to keep it simple but make the prize well worth it, so make everybody, you know, get their $25 worth out of it.
Very cool. Do you know where you're at now as far as sign-ups are?
I think we're right around 20, so it's pretty good, and we got a few more days, so maybe we can push it up. The max is 50, so we're going to cut it off at 50 if we get that high. So.
Well, there's still plenty of days left. I saw you put up that little banner on Facebook. Chris and I have already shared it, so we'll make sure to keep on pushing it out there. So, yeah, so anybody in the area who hasn't signed up yet, put that on.
And maybe you had to come up with some side bets or wagers.
Like a cow cutter or something like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody to put one of them Z-Man doodads on their bottom riggy.
A what
now? Do what?
What?
Their bottom rods. I know a lot of us have those little bottom riggers that we catch in parentheses bait fish with.
Put a Z-Man on a bottom rig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, if it works for you, you can do it. I know there'll be a popping cork out there somewhere, too.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a popping cork out there.
You mean a bobber, Corey, a bobber.
You can call it a bobber, so I give him credit. Come on now.
Hey, it's all according on how you fish with it, if it's a bobber or a popping cork.
That's right. If you just let it sit, it's a bobber. Oh, man, that's pretty alligator fishing and fly fishing, right? That's bobber fishing, too. Bobber goes down, fish on the other end, pick up the rod.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's what Richie just said. Put a Z-man at the end of your bow fishing broadhead.
Well, if you want to get a ray out of Lynn Haven, that's all you need. We saw so many out there this past week. Oh, you could walk around Lynn Haven and not get your feet wet just going across the back of them out there. They were like thick as Corey, Chris, and I fished. What was that? Friday morning. My days are all confused. I don't know how many we saw.
Friday,
and big too.
What's that?
I ended up trying
big.
To Friday evening when Mark and I went out again, I actually ended up hooking one, and I wasn't anchored down. Let me tell you, Mark was behind me and trying to tell. I actually tried to land that sucker. So Mark realized how big that thing really is, and Mark goes, oh, yeah, I got to get it.
Yeah, you don't want to turn in that thing. Yeah, better luck thinking of 4x8 feet of plywood out there and trying to bring it in once you get that thing going.
Yeah, sure.
It was
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, there's some big ones out there.
It was exciting while it lasted. I can't say otherwise.
Hey, it's
all
good
right.
Big
well,
fish
Corey,
practice.
You going to stick around? Well, Glenn, what do you
yeah.
say?
Yeah, I listen.
All right, he's sticking out. I got Mark Patterson here, and Mark put up a question on my Facebook wall the other day, and we're going to get enough people here tonight. So I want Mark to ask this question publicly. You don't have to make it so long and drawn out, but...
I'm gonna put it.
So Mark's got a question that they're passing around down in North Carolina, which reminds me, I gotta make sure I get this, my North Carolina fishing report. But there's a question going around down there. I guess what is it on your NCKFA site, Mark?
That is correct, and on our Facebook. And I would like to invite Corey, a good North Carolina native, to please utilize our site, put up your tournament on there. Use our Facebook page. We're more than happy to promote any of that stuff. You guys do a great job up there, so feel free to let us know. I mean, I can't guarantee how many guys will come that way, but...
Wait a minute.
I mean,
Time out. Mark, it took me 3 years to get you up here to fish one tournament. Now, all of a sudden, you think we're going to get half your state to come up with you?
No,
the
last state was. I don't know. I'm about opportunity. I'm providing
I was kind of under the impression almost that you maybe thought that, like, when you look on a map of America and the lines that it was drawn were like walls, not lines like on a map, but there were actually walls. I didn't think you could come across the line. It took you this long to get over here.
If I may simply say, in the time that we've known each other, only one of us have fished in the other's event, and that would be me going your way.
I got you. But I come and stand on a hard concrete floor with you for 4 days on a week.
That's a different story.
Anyway, look, I want to get back to that question because I thought it was a very good question that you guys put up down there. And we got a lot of good people in the chat room who would probably be aware of this and could chime in. We got Corey, we got Rob down in Florida. So we're going to have a big span on this whole thing. So I'm going to just put it in a nutshell. Basically, Mark's question was this. If somebody's going away for, we're going to use the example they put down, a long weekend of fish. They got a super cooler, he put in the comments. But anyway, Friday I catch a trout a red drum that's legal. I put it in my cooler, ice it down, do not want to clean it. Saturday I catch another red drum in the slot that I'm allowed to keep. I put it in my cooler with ice, and I keep it there. And Sunday I catch one more red drum of legal size, put it in my cooler, and now I'm driving home, and I get pulled over by the man. Am I legal or not legal? Well, first off, the Virginians, you are legal because you're allowed three, Mark. So up here, it wouldn't matter because you already have, you're still within your three fish limit.
Okay, well, just say you caught two a day.
Okay, so you had two a day. Now you see. How long are you allowed to keep in North Carolina?
Gator Dave.
You're allowed one a day.
In Florida.
You're two fish over. It's possession. Right. So that's the end of it. So you were in possession of too many fish on that day. He don't want to hear your story that you left home on Thursday and you stayed at the No Frill Motel all weekend and went fishing. It doesn't matter. You're in possession of that fish and you're done.
The debate is raging now, when in fact that's kind of, from what we're understanding, and we're going to, I'm sure after this conversation, because, you know, we'll get more and more. This is great. But we have two guys right now who, I think one works for the wildlife and the other is calling wildlife. And they're kind of cloudy on that. One of them is saying that you can keep them in the cooler, but you cannot have them more than one on the water per day.
I would say it's possession. That's why I would look at it that way, because it's possession. Because I know here in the past we have had large striper tournaments, and they actually had a guy that would run the fish, because we had three weigh stations, and they had a guy that would run all the fish to the one central weigh station, and they had to get a permit and stuff from, who was that from, Corey? It would have been from Vims maybe, or somewhere, so he could transport that many. VMRC, yeah, so he could transport those stripers. So if he did get pulled over, he could say, I'm just transporting because you're only allowed X amount of per day. So what's your take on that, Corey? You used to work for the law over there in Newport News.
Well, in Virginia, it's your final, that's your final destination. In other words, you can have, if you're home, you can have five redfish in your cooler, in your freezer at your house, final destination. But if you're going home, you better not have more than three fish in your cooler when you're driving home. Or the guy's going to write you a ticket because he's going to assume that you're, if you've got four redfish, you're over possession. You know, if, like I said, they're not coming to your house and check your cooler when you're a freezer at home. But
right.
That's what I always heard is its final place it's going to be before you eat it. You can have more.
Right,
than
well, that's what he's saying is
store a fish.
It said that whoever individual we're using here was driving with the fish after his long weekend, so he hasn't made it home yet. He got pulled over on Route 40 or something, and he had three fish on one day, so they don't know that you were fishing for the past 2 days, and anybody can tell that story that they've been fishing for the past 2 days.
Well,
so
let's be honest, how many game wardens pull you over on the highway after you're going home from your trip? You
right.
The birthday,
well, but
right?
My concern was, you've got a cool, okay, let's say you're at a campground. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. It hasn't, I just want to know the rules, because
yeah,
I'm going to be down
friend,
there.
Yeah, right? When the conversation starts, I have a friend.
So Gator Dave actually just said in Florida they do it a lot, and possession is the law.
Here's the deal. Again, the game warden, I mean, unless your campground is on the water somewhere and you're camping right beside the water, let's say your campground's, and you know, you drive to your campground, you put your boat, your kayak on a trailer, and you go to your campground, the game warden's not going to come to your campground and look at your thing. He's going to catch you on the water as you're leaving the water when you're fishing. I mean, that's just
right.
That's
what
the way
I'm
we
asking
work.
Is, and I agree, you're absolutely right, Corbin. What I'm wondering is, I've camped for 3 days. And the first day I iced that fish, the second day I iced that fish, and then the third day I brought that cooler in the back of my truck, caught one fish at 10 a.m., and went to drive home, and I get stopped in the parking lot. I'm in trouble because I got three redfish, correct?
Exactly, and that's, I mean, unfortunately there, I mean, unless you can do a real good job of convincing the game warden that you legally caught those fish over a three-day period, he's probably going to write you a ticket. I mean, because
I'm
going to
say, number one, my first statement is, my name is Corey Ruth, and I did not in any way violate anything. I'm just here visiting. I now live in Virginia. That's my first statement.
Well, what you do is you get that day's newspaper, and you wrap that fish in that day's newspaper with the date on it, and you got it in your cooler, so then you got a proof. So you caught the fish on that day, and then on the second day, you use that day's newspaper to wrap that fish up, and then you say, hey, this fish was caught on a different day. So it's per day.
Tom just says take pictures with dates on them, but still, at the end of the weekend, it still is over possession.
Well,
well,
again, like I said, it's going to be at
the
discretion of the officer.
Why don't you just throw them all back and say you caught them?
Well, one other question. One other guy stated online, and I think this is completely. I don't think you can do this at all. You can't, and I don't know. I don't know. I can't go to the campground. I can't clean that redfish. Can I clean that? Does that fish, this is a slot limit fish. I can't fillet that fish at all before I put it in the cooler, right? I have to have that fish whole. Because that way, that's the only way to
cook it. Until it to the final destination. But filleting it, like I said, you're back at the campground is practically, that can be a final destination. Like I said, it's where the game warden's going to get you. And most of the time, they get you at the boat ramp as you're coming off the water. That's the only place I've ever had a game warden check my cooler. So
okay. First question is, you should ask him if he likes redfish, and then you just hand him one. Tell him, no, you only have
fish. No, you can't do that because that is considered bribery. That could cost
you haven't met the North Carolina game wardens yet. They'll take a redfish. A duck or a redfish, they'll take it. They'll call it even.
Now, okay, one other question, and this is just another question. Since we're in a kayak, let's say you, Corey, and I, and Mark Lozier, well, down, and Chris, because we don't want to go anywhere without her, we are all fishing here in North Carolina. You can only possess one a day, right? Let's say Chris catches one, and she catches another one. Can she give it to one of us?
Yeah, you can claim that.
Yeah.
As long as you're not exceeding the limit for three people for that day, you're going to be fine. You can use another guy's fish, definitely.
Now, here's a problem with that, Mark Patterson, because if you were fishing with me, there'd be no way in hell I'd give you a redfish to eat.
But you only can keep one anyway.
I'm not going to keep one. I'm going to
let like
there's
a lot of shady stuff going in North Carolina. That's what it sounds like to me. Some of y'all just trying to fuck the system.
No, I just don't.
I see why you left, Corey. It seems like you
just
love trouble.
The only way I'd give you my slot size red would be if Mark would tell me that sucker is gut hooked and there's no way that fish is going to live. Otherwise, and that is so hypothetically, it ain't going to happen.
Well, but see, I've always been told, and I'm not doubting what Corey says, I've always been told that because the kayak is an individual vessel, you can't give another person if there's one a day per limit, you can't give another person. It would be like your boat has three people on it, so you have nine redfish if you were in Virginia. You catch that tenth one and pull up next to another boater and be like, hey, buddy, you want this guy? Is that a violation in Virginia?
Only if the game warden sees you do it.
Hey, let me tell you, apparently some people here in Virginia, and both Mark and Corey can attest that, we paddle back to the ramp on Friday. There's a gentleman with two fish on his stringer, a flounder and a red. And I'm looking over, and Mark is looking over. So the gentleman finally walks up and asks if any one of us had a measuring device. So,
The
red was undersized. The flounder, barely 16 and a half. The gentleman didn't even know the size of the fish that he was allowed to have. Thank God the red was alive and we released him right there. But, I mean, come on. Didn't even have some sort of measuring device or didn't even know the rules as far as what he was allowed to have. That's pretty bad.
That's unacceptable. And probably, unfortunately, he probably didn't have a fishing license either.
Your question was so kind of started off, because that was something I wanted to talk about tonight, because Chris just mentioned that story. And I had a couple more, and I get them quite often at the tackle shop where people ask me, and I'll use redfish for another example, and I just had it this past weekend when I worked. Oh, what's the legal limit for red drum? And I tell them, and I, you can see that deer in the headlight look, or that, oh crap, I have not been doing that look. And I had a gentleman just this weekend, I was like, what have you been doing? And he said, well, how many am I allowed again? He's like, oh, no, I've had way more than that. I said, well, now you know. So, you know, ignorance isn't an excuse to get out of it, and I'm not saying that anybody in this chat room, anybody who listens to us on podcast or whatever, but make sure your friends and new people getting into the sport, or people who you know, that people know. Most, I know here in Virginia, those cards we give away all day long for free, your regulations, so it's not too hard. You can look it up online, and that's the other thing, is nowadays with smartphones, not you, Mark Patterson, but everybody else who has smartphones, you can look it up on the water, even if you're not clear, because, A, it's not, you know, the conservation side we won't get into, but the legal side, the money it can cost you to have that undersized or oversized fish, or the too many in your possession. And if they want to get really crappy with you, I don't know about other states, but Corey will attest to this in Virginia, they catch you at the ramp with your boat on the trailer or your kayak on the trailer in the truck with the cooler full of too many fish. They can take all those things from you right then and there. I mean, the truck, the boat, the trailer, everything that's in there, you will be told to walk home, and it's all gone, taken from you. It happened. Yeah. I've seen it happen at Willoughby Spit. I've seen the man come up, and they totally lock down the vehicle. They tell that guy, get in the back seat, buddy. They put the fashion bracelets on him, and they impound everything there. And it's all theirs then. Because that fish was attached to the cooler, that was attached to the boat, that was attached to the trailer, that was attached to the truck. And it's all gone.
Striper, right?
What's it called?
Striper. That was striped bass, right?
Striper.
Yeah.
Yep. So
and that's why I really wanted to start this debate, because I'd asked several people this in, you know, privately, and I asked six different people, and I got basically four different answers on that part. I mean, some people were saying you could fillet them, and what, you know, and I'm like, I don't think you can do that. Again, it was just a lot of different stuff. So we're going to really try to run that down and get a definitive answer and then post that up, because a lot of our guys do like to camp. And in that situation, again, you know, flounder, I don't know what your regulations are, but we can keep quite a few flounder and stuff. And if you know, you're on a 3-day trip, and that's the only time you're going to get to go to the coast, and you want to keep four one day, four the next, two the next, well, you've exceeded the total possession limit. But they have, I'm not saying anybody's trying to get around the law or cheat or do anything wrong. You just need to be clear. So, like I say, you don't do what is really fair on the daily basis, but go outside the total possession limit. You know, that's what I'm trying to do, is just let people know.
I would say, when in doubt, go with the possession limit, and that's that.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
And, you know, and
we had another.
That
I
went
experimented down
over
the game room there, so I can ask him to get in touch with you, and he can tell you what he would do. You know, you need to talk to the guy with the badge. That's who you need to ask.
Okay.
That would be great. Right down to it, I don't think no fish is worth the fine or even potential possession of your possession. It's not worth it.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, again, that was just – I don't think anyone would do it on purpose. That's why the confusion is with the total possession versus the how many per day, and if you're staying, you know, it was just an odd little quirk in there, and I figured, you know, somebody would know, and we're finding out, just like with you, Mark, a lot of people think they know, but when it comes right down to, like Corey said, asking the man who can actually write the ticket, that's where it stops, you know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you got to convince him, and it's all going to come down to the boat. They're going to go with what you got for that daily possession. In other words, they're going to look in the boat and the cooler on the boat. They might look in the truck while you got the boat right there, but if you're at a campground somewhere, chances of them coming and looking at your cooler and checking fillets and stuff, it's just they know that they don't have a case. So that's why they try to catch you on the water in the act or at the boat ramp. Coming back in at the end of the day. That's where they're going to get you. And if you're over at that point, they're going to assume that you're in the wrong. You can, like I said, ignorance is no excuse for not knowing what the law is. So
bingo.
Right, because you see it here during striper season with boat anglers. A lot of times at marinas, they'll run back in, put the two fish in the cooler in the parking lot, and they'll run right back out to the bridge. They'll come back
right.
in, put in the cooler.
That
in the
is
truck.
Illegal.
That's illegal, but they do it because they figure at any point in time that they're stopped on the water, they only have two fish or two times however many anglers they have for that outing, but until somebody visually sees them. But I've, you know, we've all seen it around here. If you fish long enough in Virginia, especially, I've always said it, and I'll say it again, when striper season opens on the calendar, everybody puts their brains in the closet and just kind of goes out on the water. So, but yeah.
People call striper meat, call it brain damage. You ain't figured that out yet?
I think literally on October 2nd, they just put them in the closet, most people, and just they're gone. They go out and fish, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, I think in the end that's probably the best way to get to the right answer is to call the man, and the man will probably tell you what he would do and whatever happens after that case. But I would always go with that possession thing if you're worried about it. And,
yeah.
You know, if it's something that's going to happen, I don't know what else to say.
And Mark Patterson.
Yes, sir.
The guy that I know is actually from Randleman originally, and I think he's a warden in Wilmington. His name is Brian Gillis, and I'll try to get him in touch with you guys and tell, you know, let him know what, you know, because that's what you need to ask. He'll tell you exactly what he would do and how he'd handle it, and then you'd know.
I think Jim Kelly, do you remember Jim Kelly?
I do know him. Yeah.
But I think he's retired now, and that was the guy I used to go to. I've got to call into him. And nobody from his office has called me back. And it wasn't him on the voicemail, so, you know.
They're following you now. They're not going to call you back, Mark. They're following you now. Keep doing what you do, brother. They're following you.
Well, you know what? The good thing is we didn't have that problem with the Cobia tournament.
We were going to talk about that. You had to go there. Man. Ouch.
We didn't have
that problem, did we? We didn't have too much. We didn't have many fish to caught, but we caught the heck out of some rain and thunder and lightning that day.
Yes, we did.
It's going to be even harder for me to convince you to come back to Virginia and fish, though.
No, best thing is, it's going to be, without dying, it's going to be hard to take a worse beating.
Yeah.
It can only get better.
But I say, when we got back after the second storm that ran us off the water, I said, you can beat me with the stick, but once you start poking me with the sharp end, I'm done. So that was it. I got run off the water twice that day for sparks in the sky and downpour and wind, and it was pretty bad. Yeah, so we haven't had a show since Mark and I participated in the local Cobia tournament. We did have a total of, I believe, 5 kayak anglers show up for. Great event put on by the Norfolk Anglers Club in Vinings. Good turnout, I guess you could say. It was a little lower than I thought for our local area, and as well as the Cobia Bite has been. But I think some people sat and waited to the last day and saw that the winds were supposed to pick up. And apparently they saw that we're going to have a thunderstorm at 9:30 in the morning. How often does that happen around here? Corey, Chris, everybody local. We never have thunder like at 9:30 in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning. So they, 3 o'clock and after, it's almost guaranteed every day. Like, if we don't have one this time of year, you're like, wow, it didn't rain. But at 9 o'clock in the morning, but I will say this, and I said it on Facebook, and I'll say it here publicly, I have some of the best friends, family, wife in the world. We were out there, and this weather started up, and my phone was just blowing up from Kaya Kevin sitting at the tackle shop working, Andy Bukowski, I believe he might have been at work looking, who else, Rob Lee, Chris, I was getting just all kind of text messages, phone calls. Hey, there's a storm coming. Well, by this time, when that came in, we turned around. We couldn't even see Cape Henry anymore. So we started beating feet, $30 a chum and bait in the water. We left it there for the sharks and rays and everybody else to have fun with because we got out of town. But we paddled ashore. We waited a half an hour. Sun came back out. Long story short here. We went back out. We didn't go as far as we did the first paddle.
Whoa. Two of us didn't. One moron decided he was going
to
go back out there.
I was getting to that, how you just figured. Because there's a point, there's a lesson to be learned in the rest of the fishing trip here, I'm going to say. So, yeah, so we went not as far. So the funny part about the story, well, there's a couple of funny parts of the day. So we were anchored up, all three of us. Joe was with us. We were all anchored up. And Mark decides, I'm going to go troll around. I'm going to look for fish. I'm like, yeah, you go take off. If you get anything, give us a call. We'll come or you come back, whatever. So Joe and I are sitting there. And anybody that knows me long enough knows how much I love to bait fish. I even put pictures up on Facebook of nothing because that's what you do when you bait fish. especially for cobia, because you're clearing sharks and rays. It's just the beat. So we were sitting out there bait fishing. Joe's got his little shower radio on. You know, we're having our good old time underwater. And Joe is facing the opposite direction as I am, and I'm not. Joe's facing towards the shoreline, and I'm facing away. And I just got down looking at my phone, and there's like a little tiny rain cell out off of Suffolk, which anybody's not around here. 45 minutes, an hour from us where we're fishing. So I'm like, oh, we're fine. Joe's like, hey, Loser, what's up? I was like, no, what's up with you? He's like, no, what's up? And he's looking at the shoreline like with these big eyes. He's like, what's up? And I look over, and it is pitch black. Like, it's like nighttime black. The street lights are coming on black, you know? So I was like, well, meanwhile, we can't see Patterson because he's in his Hobie PA pedaling around like he's got, like, you know, taking a Gilligan Island cruise. He's gone. He just left. Can't even see him. So I was like, well, I don't know his wife's phone number. We'll figure it out. We'll call her and tell her where we last saw him. But we're out of here. You know, I'm pulling up. No, wait, excuse me. I tried his cell phone. No answer. It goes right to his voicemail. Joe's calling him on the radio. No answer. So there's the point of my story. When you got a radio, Mark, turn it on. When you got
there was only one.
Especially when you leave your fishing partners and you go 2 miles away that we can't even see you.
Okay, there's a few flaws. Well, there's another, just like Dr. Phil said, no matter how flat you make a pancake, there are two sides. Now, I got another side of this story, but you carry on. You're doing fine.
No, that was it. So we all brought back in, and it was pumping.
Mark,
but I was almost sorry that you watched Dr. Phil. That kind of threw me off there for a second, too.
Well, no, the best part
Joe was chiming in the chat room asking, we were all anchored up?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything about that.
And
I wasn't going to mention it either.
I thought he was
a
good
sport. We'll go back to that real quick.
Cause
I think this show is just taking a wicked turn, but I still got a couple things I have to cover in a point. But anyway, yeah, so there's two sides to your pancake, but your pancake was too far away to see which side was up. So I didn't know. We pulled up chunks and we left your butt. But it pumped everybody out. It was terrible. The second storm for wind and rain was worse than the first storm, like that rain that just hit you and hurt. And we fouled the shore, and I got to shore and I just threw everything in the sand and said, that's it, I'm done. Like I said, poke me with the sharp stick, whatever. And we called it quits. So.
Well, first of all, I never got what channel you were on the radio, first of all.
We told you when we launched.
No one shared that with me. Number two, by the time I heard the phone ringing, I was just trying to survive and get back. I didn't have time to answer the phone because, as Joe said, it looked like I just got swallowed by the clouds and the rain as I was paddling as fast as I could into that headwind. That was a B-team. Oh, it was horrible. And then poor Joe with his anchor situation. I'm gonna let you expound on that because he's really your friend.
I don't want to tell Joe's bad story. I feel bad. I don't want to.
Okay. Well. Okay. But the croaker bite.
Joe will get all that remedied, and he'll have a better anchor system the next time we go out. But the ending funny part for me for that day was the following day. I worked at the tackle shop, and this very nice couple came in. They wanted to buy a pier cart. Long story short, we walked around the shop. I got them a pier cart, some other things they wanted to get. And in our topics in there, I kayak just came up. And the guy's like, oh, really? That's pretty cool. We were out at the pier yesterday, and we saw these three guys out in the middle of the storm trying to paddle in against the wind. And I was like, I just raised my hand and said, guilty. You know, I couldn't, what else? I was like, oh, that was you? And I was like, yeah.
The lady called you
when
guys.
When Joe and I paddled past the pier, when there was somebody there with a camera taking pictures as we were trying to get the store.
Oh,
with the wind,
I would kill for those. I would kill for those. That was.
But it was pretty funny when the guy's like, yeah, we saw three idiots out in the water yesterday in that storm. Well, I'm one of the three. Curly, Moe, and Larry.
You're a third idiot. We got the other two out. but again, I've never caught croaker like that. The croaker bite was just on fire.
Hey, at least you got something out of it, Mr. Patterson.
I did. It was.
I hear the rest of the people from North Carolina fishing cooker.
It's that time of year too, Corey. That's all we get now at the tackle shop. I need a 10-day license from North Carolina, so I'm going cooker fishing. Everybody from North Carolina. I had somebody came as far as like Charlotte the other day. I said, "You drove all the way up here from Charlotte to go catch cooker? We don't catch cooker in North Carolina." I was like, "Holy cow!"
But anyway, ain't no limit.
Yeah, there ain't no limit here. It's funny because we're totally out of the realm talk now, but it was so boring out there. Joe looked at me one time and said, "Catching bait's kind of fun, isn't it? Because we just catch croakers and we end up in our business with catching croakers." This is kind of fun. Little hand-sized croakers left and right. I was like, yeah, it makes it a lot easier than carrying live bait. And we weren't catching nothing else that time.
No, we caught sharks. We caught rays.
Yeah.
I think had the first storm not rolled through, where we could have stayed where we originally were, I felt very good. You had a great game plan. Do not take it personally. You did the best you could with the tools you had.
And the people
the tools,
you were fishing
yeah.
with.
Two partners' tools.
Hey, Mark,
watching Joe drift by us at 90 miles an hour.
Hey, you know, yeah. Asking Mark to use baits like getting a pitcher in a strip bar.
Do what?
I said, asking you to use baits like getting a preacher in a stripping club.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's too bad I get. Yeah, that was not. All right, Drew Camp's in the house.
Clean Camp's it up,
here, everybody.
Now.
Welcome, Drew. Nah. But yeah, so the couple morals of that story is A, I guess everybody know what radio channel you're on. B, don't go further than. C, whatever the weather says, do the opposite because that was totally bad.
Oh, D, check your equipment and your partner's equipment before you leave.
Hey, RV, anchors away.
Anchors away.
You can tell
anyway,
Joe, all right,
well, that was our big
movie
adventure, everybody. What's that?
So you can tell Joe we got the full anchor settled in stock at Wild River, too.
See, you're making it so hard for me not to tell Joe's story.
It wasn't. He had the trolley part, Corey. He had that part. And he had
a lot of rope.
Yeah, he had a half trolley. And he had a lot of rope. I think he probably had, what, 600, 700 feet?
Yeah. Yeah. You're terrible. Get
longer.
Really,
really good book. It's got a description in it too.
Well, why don't you give us a fishing report, Mark, before you gotta go?
It is on. It is on right here. If you want to come up here and fish now, everything with Cobia, Mark. Everything with Cobia. No. No, but seriously, fishing in this area right now, and it's funny because people come into tackle shops and they ask me that. What's wrong? I said, everything's here now. If you want to fish, it's all here. Spade fish, trigger fish, sheep's head, flounder bites, okay, hasn't been great, but there is flounder out there. Inshore, red drum, speckled trout, croaker, as you already know, but now we're starting. Plenty of croaker spot. I mean, it's really, and actually, the bigger cobia have started to chew, just for reference.
Of course they are.
Salt treated.
Of course they are.
Well, not that way. I mean, but yeah, they just had an 80 pound, I think it was 65 inches, 80 pound cobia came in two days ago.
Drew Camp just put in the chat room, the cobia are easy to catch.
Yeah, they had a 17-inch one. Well, I wouldn't have been embarrassed. I couldn't even bring it to the weigh-in, but no, I'm joking, Drew, but yeah. Cobia are easy to catch. Sitting out in the middle of a lightning storm, not so easy.
He's catching them with
anchoring.
Cobia.
And anchoring.
next year, we're back. Next year, we're not playing games next year.
We're going to bring extra anchors.
I'm going to bring some chain next year for your friend.
Well, you're going to have to come down a day earlier so you can pre-fish.
Oh, Drew said it was 19 and a half. My bad, Drew. I'm sorry, dude.
I don't think I could go through that 2 days in a row. I don't think I can breathe switch.
So yeah, but he ended up Mark, to answer your question, fishing right now is pretty daggone good out here. I mean, you can pretty much that Bay Bridge out there. You've got a lot of people holding on it, so anybody getting out in the water, just check the weather. Pay attention. But yeah. No, we haven't had a morning storm since you left either, Patterson, just for the record. So.
Oh, I'm sure you haven't. And I'm sure it's been just wonderful out there.
Been hot, but we had a good storm yesterday, I guess, but now. But you expect those around here this time of year. If it's hot, muggy, and buggy. Gonna get a thunderstorm every afternoon here or there, but
hey, honey, don't you have a fishing report from North Carolina?
See, that's why I love you. You just keep me in tip. I got all ate up with bad weather COVID trip. Yeah, we got the North Carolina boys called in tonight, so let's get one more in the mix here from Philip Ruckert down in the Greensboro area. Philip with Get Outdoors and Kayak Fishing North Carolina always sends us a good report. So let's see what Philip's got this week. It says here, Central North Carolina rivers are slowly getting back to normal levels, and the fish in the ones that are seen just as happy as those who fish them. Bass are chewing, making up for lost time on crankbaits, spinnerbaits, or just about anything that looks like a good meal. It says here, the coastal inshore continues to be very good for three main species, flounder, specks, and red drum. And something here that I know a couple of our listeners are going to. The coastal tournament event for the upcoming weekend is the Hook, Line, and Paddle event. The TJM charity tournament this Saturday held in Wrightsville Beach. The tourney benefits the North Carolina Alzheimer's chapter. Chris and Ryan operate a fantastic tournament for a needy organization. If you can make it, you will not be disappointed. And he's got the website here at www.hookline and paddle.com. Corey and I fished that the very first year. It was a good event for a very first year. And now they're on their fifth. So good luck. Mark, you're going down, correct?
Yes, I'm going down. Yes, I will be there. I'm going down Thursday to do some NCKFA stuff. And then Friday, I'm actually going to go carp fishing, and then I'm going to go for the tournament on Saturday. So, yes, I'll be there. And it is a great event. They're a great group of guys. Their whole family's pulled together, and they do a great – it's just a great event, and it really is.
Wow. I guess, just to interject, I guess Drew Camp is entering the subdivision.
Well, there you go. That's a winner. All right, Drew,
yeah.
We'll make us Virginians proud and bring it back home.
I wrote good luck fishing that, Drew. Bring it home for a VA, and the Lozierists be rooting for you. So, sorry, Mr. Patterson.
That's all right. It's okay.
He's in a subdivision. We ain't going to get Mark on no sup board. He got that PA or his Mariner going. He's not going to stand
up.
Yeah,
I will be in either the Mariner or the PA. I mean, that's the beauty. I get to play with all the different toys in the loaner fleet. So whatever is not checked out, what I'll be using.
Mark Patterson, you got to go look up for. You got to look for Drew. You got to go meet Drew and shake his hand.
Well, I will meet Drew. I will get photos. I know William Bragalowski is going to be there, and Drew's last name is Camp, C-A-M-P.
It'll be him and his dad, Drew Camp.
All right. I think, did they come down last year? I think they came down last year, didn't they?
They went to Oak Island. I got you in touch with the two of them because they went to Oak Island for the
first
year last year.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Yes, I thought that name sounded familiar. Okay, great. Yeah, I'll definitely be there, and I would love to meet all those guys. I'll try to get you a bunch of pictures. If you could get me, when I was at your house, I forgot to ask for that bumper sticker, that like red, like I'm with the Lozierists or something like that bumper sticker.
Living like Lozier.
What?
Living like Lozier. It's neon yellow.
Oh, yeah, see, I forgot to ask for that. I don't know. I should have gotten that. I could have put that on my kayak. That way it could have been identified on the water. I should have done that. Bring that with you when you guys come this way.
I think we have,
you
like
know what? You already gave, you keep giving me these shopping lists when I come out there next month, and it's getting longer. I'm going to have two vehicles just to bring half the stuff you want and half the stuff you left at our house that you're supposed to bring home anyway.
Well, just bring it on, and I'll make sure that the mattress is nice and firm for you guys.
Oh, you just had to bring up the mattress, didn't you?
I just said we'll make sure that that's ready to go, and you're all comfy and snug here and everything, so we've got to have that ready to go for you. We're excited.
Well, we are, too. That's August. That's in August, though. We got lots going on before then. All right, well, we're getting to the top of the hour here. I want to make sure we cover everything. So we're going to go round robin one more time real quickly. Corey, back to you real quick. What we got going on this weekend? Give everybody the dates and times and locations of your event.
Yeah, we have it's the Z-Man Mystery Lure Tournament. Captain's meeting is Friday at 6 o'clock. We'll give out your mystery lures, and you guys can get on the water at first light on Saturday, and then you have to be back by 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon with your memory card and your score sheet so we can see who got the biggest redfish.
And that's at the store?
At Raw River Outfitters, yes.
Both times. Okay, very good. 6 p.m. and 4 p.m. are the two important dates you have to know. And first light, I guess.
Yep.
Rob DeVore, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here, dude.
All right, just making sure we didn't lose you. All right, so when are you heading to New Orleans?
I'm heading there Friday, come back Monday after a detour. I don't know. I got to change planes somewhere. So, yeah.
All right. So we can all keep up with the New Orleans. I'm sure you'll be updating us little bits and pieces there on Yaktastic page.
Yep, Yaktastic Adventures on Facebook, man. Check it out.
So you haven't already?
There. Mike,
so anybody
Mike
here has not? Yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, Mike Kanin got a 38-inch snook on film today. It's a beastie. It's up there on the page, man. It's pretty sweet fish.
I'll go check it out as soon as we get off the air. So if you haven't friended Yaktastic Adventures yet, go check them out on Facebook, and we'll look forward to the updates from this coming weekend's trip to New Orleans. And feel free to call back in next week and give us a rundown on what happened. Or whatever you can share before the video gets put together.
All right, cool, man. Thanks for, have a good one, and see you guys later.
Anytime, man. All right, we'll talk to you.
Later.
Mark Patterson, you're heading down to North Carolina. Well, you're in North Carolina. So you're heading down to the Hook, Line, and Paddle event this weekend. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. And, again, if you guys are around in the area, that's a great event. Those guys do a great job. You don't want to miss that.
Very cool. Well, you too. Call us in next Tuesday. Tell us about give us a wrap-up of it. I don't have any contacts with the guys down at that store, so you'll be our man on the scene down there, so you can call in next Tuesday and give us a quick summary of what happened down there and how the fishing was.
I'll be glad to. Thank you very much.
Have you checked the tides for Port Fisher?
Yeah, low tide is at 6:18 on that morning. You can kind of ride it out and then ride it back.
Yeah, that was a tough one, wasn't it, Corey? That was all mud when we came back in. Remember that dude that was stuck in his waist?
Oh, yeah. Corey. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was bad. This dude was stuck at the ramp, literally up to his waist in mud, and they had a shovel handle, and he was trying to grab it, and he was like this. Looked like it was pretty bad. When it blew out, it blew out there. I think the wind was going in the same direction. So low tide and the wind, it was just pure mud. That whole area right there at Port Fisher.
Yeah, that if the wind's going with the tide, it can be a beating.
Yeah, you had to go all the way around the corner there to get back in. There was, like, no water at all along the wall. Well, good luck, Mark. Have a safe trip, and we look forward to hearing from you. I don't think I have anything else locally. We got Corey's event this weekend. You all come out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Chris and I have already summed up. We're looking forward to it, so... What else are you going to do? Get a pack of new lures and a chance to win some great prizes there. Wild River, thanks to Z-Man for helping out with this. It's going to be a good time. Andy says, won't make it. Sorry to hear that, dude.
Too bad. More pitchforks.
All right. Well, that's all we got. I'm excited. Thursday morning, I'm going to get up early and drive down the Outer Banks and get my new custom-made rod just for me from Ryan White down there at Hatteras Jack Century Rods. So hopefully I'll get on it this weekend with that and be able to tell you guys. He was on a couple weeks ago. I guess it's been a month ago or so, Ryan, talking about the rods. So I got my new rod going down Thursday morning to pick it up. So pretty exciting there. Never had a rod made just for me, so pretty cool. All right, everybody, if you get out there, catch them up, send us some reports, let us know what's going on, but be safe because those pop-up storms do happen, and we still got a lot of hot temperatures, so hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. That's all I got. Chris, take it away.
Tight lines, no matter where you're fishing, I agree with Mark, hydrate, 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 and remember, take your children fishing. They are our next generation anglers. Good night, everybody.
Good night.